Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, and we'll just look at one verse tonight. We're in our series on the Sermon on the Mount and what it takes to be a disciple, and just studying this, just simple one verse at a time messages as we go through here, and what it means to be a disciple. It's not about what we do, it's about who we are. It's and before we do something, it's about that we're supposed to be something. Be before you do. That's the idea that we've been looking at. It's the be attitudes, if you will. And it starts with humility. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Then he said that we must mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. And that's speaking about mourning over sin. Then he talked about blessed are the meek, those that have self-control, and those that could, but doesn't mean that they should. And then last time we talked about blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and how our greatest desire in life ought to be for God and His righteousness. And as he was teaching these things, I just wonder, on that hillside, how many of those that were listening were thinking, this doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, the Sermon on the Mount really goes against our way of thinking. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, in John 18. The world operates nothing like the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because if you think about the difference between what he taught and what the world teaches, you know, instead of fighting to get ahead like the world says, Jesus says, lower yourself. And instead of being proud and doing things your way, Jesus says, mourn over your sin. Rather than asserting dominance, and he tells them to be meek instead. More than desiring riches and the things of the world, he says, you should desire to please me like you want to eat and drink. And nothing that he says makes sense to our nature if you're reading the Sermon on the Mount. But that's his kingdom. And as counterintuitive as these traits might seem, Jesus says these are the only way for a disciple to be blessed. And the word blessed means happy. It means content. It means satisfied. And so the one that we're going to read tonight it is, again, counterintuitive to our nature and to our culture. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's read it out loud together. Ready? Ready, begin. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, mercy is a subject we could spend an entire series studying, but because we only have one verse and we don't have very much time tonight, then my goal is just to study mercy from the application that Jesus Christ himself made. And we'll try to make it practical and applicable and quick tonight. But understand this, mercy was not a concept that was embraced in their day any more than it's embraced in ours. Rome wasn't merciful. And as you know, they were under the authority of Rome, the Roman government. And Rome wasn't merciful. Ancient Stoic philosophers, I read just today, they actually called mercy a disease of the soul. To them, in that culture, to them it was a vice, not a virtue. So the Jews, hearing Jesus talk about mercy, they rarely saw it demonstrated. They certainly would not have seen it demonstrated from the Roman government, nor did they see it demonstrated in their religion. Now, you think about the religious leaders and the Pharisees of the day. They didn't show mercy toward the common man. They didn't cut anybody any slack. The Bible says that they actually added burdens to the people that they themselves could not bear. And it's in that cultural setting that they've not seen mercy lived out that Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, blessed are they those that go against the culture. Blessed are those that go against the government and those that go against what you understand to be religion. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So what is mercy? Well, a common definition is mercy is what God withholds from us that we deserve. For example, God withholds judgment even though we deserve it. And God, and you could have said amen right there, because God, the mercy or the judgment that we deserve, if we got what we deserve, we would not be happy people. Be thankful that Jesus Christ took the wrath of God on himself and took judgment on himself rather than allowing us to get what we deserve. condemnation. You know, this is different than grace. The idea of grace is often described as that which God out of his love gives us that we don't deserve. And the two are different. Grace would be more like this. Grace would be like you're walking down the street and you see somebody that you've never met, you do not know, and they have a Christmas present, and they walk up to you and they hand you a Christmas present, and you say, well, what's this about? And they say, I don't know you, you don't know me, I just wanted to give you a gift, and they walk away. That's grace, because you've done nothing with that person to earn a gift. Mercy would be that you walk up to a front porch of somebody and steal a Christmas present off of their porch. Don't do this, by the way. I'm not recommending this. No, but you walk up, you see a gift, you say, that looks nice, I need a gift. You steal the gift, and as you're walking away, the owners of the house, they have a doorbell camera like everybody has now, and they see you. You can't get away with this stuff anymore. Not that you should have ever tried to get away with it. They're going to catch you. And by the way, we had somebody from our church handing out flyers, and they were putting a flyer on the door, and their picture got taken, and somebody on Facebook said, anybody know this guy creeping around my porch? I was like, that's somebody from our church. There's no creeping going on. Come on. Anyway, I've thought about wearing a bag over my head when I go door knocking, but that would be weird too, so I'm not going to do that. So you go up to a porch, and you steal a present off the porch. They see you, and they catch you. They call the police, and the police catch you, and they make you come back, and they're talking to you, and they're talking to the homeowners, and the homeowners say, you know what? We don't want to press charges. In fact, we want you to have the gift. That's mercy, in that you didn't get what you deserved. You deserve to be thrown in jail, but you didn't get thrown in jail. You don't get what you deserve. That's mercy. Grace is getting a gift that you didn't earn. Mercy is doing something you deserve and not getting what you deserve. I know that's very simplistic. If we were to take the Bible definition even further, it means compassion. Mercy means pity. It means sympathy. William Barclay wrote, it means more than just pity or to empathize. It means to get in with one. To get in their skin. It means to feel what they feel. Sympathy is almost feeling bad for someone else. Empathy is trying to see things from their perspective. Mercy is putting yourself in their skin, putting yourself in their shoes and feeling what they feel and imagining what they're going through. And it takes a special kind of empathy to do that. I'm thankful for people that feel what other people feel. That exercise, though, results in mercy. It results in showing mercy because you have been able to imagine yourself going through what they're going through. Now, understand this. As a balance, mercy in Scripture is never presented as a way to excuse somebody's sin. Just because it says, blessed are the merciful, doesn't mean that you say, well, you know, they did this, but I'm not going to press charges. I'm not going to hold it against them. There are times when in showing mercy, you still deal with sin. And if you don't, it's compromise to just allow something to go on. Tolerance is not necessarily, at least our culture's idea of tolerance, is not what we're talking about when we're talking about biblical mercy. I'm not saying we don't show compassion to sinners and that we don't care about people that make bad decisions, because God is merciful to them just like he's been merciful to us. But mercy doesn't mean we overlook crime. It doesn't mean that we excuse sin. But rather we hold them accountable for their actions. So while Jesus said, Father, forgive them on the cross, because that's what people will use. They'll say, well, judge not. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. But understand this. At that moment, he was dealing with their sin. So the mercy that he showed and the forgiveness that he showed dealt with sin. He died for the sins of the whole world. But only those who benefit that will benefit from that are those that will humble themselves and ask for forgiveness and have their sins dealt with. Mercy doesn't excuse sin, and it doesn't compromise on sin. It deals with sin. One of the Beatitudes before this was mourning over sin. So mercy doesn't come until sin is dealt with. But understand this. Mercy at the same time, here's mercy. Mercy allows sin to be dealt with.
It doesn't just overlook it. It allows sin to be dealt with. It doesn't erase it. It allows it to be taken care of. That in itself is the act of mercy. And so the primary application that I'd like to give you is found in Matthew 18. And we're going to read this. And really, we don't have much more tonight. But I'd like to read this and not give much commentary. But because this is a story that's familiar. Matthew chapter 18. And so I was trying to figure out how to apply mercy. Well, there's a story that Jesus himself gives, so we're going to use that. Matthew 18, verse 21, it says, "Then came Peter unto him, or Peter to him, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. I mean, that's just, it's greater than our minds can imagine, that debt. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all, even though he likely never could have. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with," what's the word? "Compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt." That's mercy. "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him," just like he had done, "saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Man, what a story about really that reflects humanity at its worst. The application, the principle are very simple. If you've been shown mercy, show mercy to other people. See, otherwise, we'll be found merciless, and that's what brings about a set of issues we don't want, because verse 35 shows us what happens to the merciless. "Likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." It makes it clear that those who refuse to show mercy give up their opportunity to receive mercy. And if you're merciless, in other words, you don't forgive others like you've been forgiven, what it means is the Lord doesn't forgive you when you ask it. And the sin that you commit stacks up higher and higher, and you get further and further away from God. And rather than experiencing being blessed, like the Beatitudes say, blessed, you grow resentful and petty and angry about your condition. You fall out of favor, not just with God, but also with men. And I don't know about you, but that's not the way I want my life to be described. Because we should be merciful to others because of the mercy we've received and the continued mercy that we need. See, we have benefited from God's mercy in so many ways. I think about salvation. I deserve separation from God, and He gives me fellowship. I think about the blessedness. Blessed are they. Contentment. I deserve, you know what I deserve? I deserve to be miserable. I deserve to be unhappy. But He makes it possible for me to be blessed. I think about His continual mercy. Jeremiah wrote, His mercies are new. How often? Every morning. I don't deserve to even wake up. But I also really don't deserve to wake up with God's favor on my life every single day. Listen, all of us have experienced mercy in our lives so far beyond what we could deserve that we would be that we should be shocked that it continues. I read a story from a famous author about a man in Brazil. His name was Daniel. He's a professional weightlifter and a professional bodybuilder. And as far as I know, it's a true story. And this man wanted to meet, he wanted to own his own gym. So he went to the bank and he worked out financing. And as he was working out the financing, he realized that he was going to have to have a co-signer. So he asked his brother to co-sign for him. So the bank processed the loan, then they called him and said, okay, the check is ready for you to purchase the gym and just need you to come get it. So he went down to the bank, and by the time he got there, they were surprised to see him because his brother had already gone, beat him to the bank, picked up the check, and used the check to pay the mortgage on his house. So he was obviously furious. So he went to his brother's house, and he was going to do something to his brother, hurt his brother. And he was met, the brother is smart, because he answered the door holding his baby girl. So Daniel left, obviously didn't want to do anything in that moment, but he vowed, if I ever see my brother again, I'm going to just take his head off. Daniel was later led to Christ, and he couldn't, though, get over his anger and his bitterness and his hatred for his brother. And by the way, just because you get saved doesn't mean that all of the issues that you hold on to are just automatically fixed. You have to trust in God's grace every single day to overcome those still. So he has this anger and this bitterness and there's resentment. And now he's saved now, but he's still got these things. So after a couple of years, he was in town. He ran across his brother. And the brother hadn't seen him. And Daniel just got so angry and he clenched his fists and he had revenge on his mind and he wanted to do something to his brother. But suddenly in his mind, in his brother, he could see his father. And he saw his father's facial features and he saw his father's eyes and his dad's expressions and the way that he carried himself. He could just see his dad in his brother. And he says, when I saw the image of my father, my enemy became my brother. So he grabbed his brother, who was obviously afraid, but rather than beat him, he hugged him, he embraced him, and he wept, and they reconciled. You know, that person that you hate, that person you don't want to show mercy to, look at them closely. Because once you do, you will see the image of the Father. And you'll remember that God has shown you mercy. And his mercy is the difference between your happiness or misery. Does that person deserve mercy? Well, probably not, but neither do we. But because we are made in the image of the Father, he gives us an opportunity to experience mercy if we show it. Mercy is what makes it possible for your enemy to become your brother. We need mercy now more than ever. And so here's why merciful disciples are blessed, because the more mercy we extend, the more mercy God gives back. Mercy extended equals mercy received. And this time of year, we're talking about gifts. We're talking about presents and making lists and going and shopping and all of that. I don't even know if people go to stores. Maybe people just buy on Amazon now. I don't know. But this season, it might be the best gift that you'll ever receive if you give one to yourself. And I'm not talking about something you can get on Amazon. I'm talking about mercy. It is a gift we give ourselves because mercy given is mercy received. So three closing questions. When's the last time you stopped and thanked God for his mercy that he continually extends to you? Number two, is there someone in your life that you should extend mercy to that you've been holding back? Number three, if you're not close to God right now, could it be because you've been merciless in spite of God's mercy to you? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let's stand together. We'll have a verse of invitation here. I hope tonight that you would be willing to confront yourself with this issue of being merciful. So the truth is, we don't deserve it, but we've received a lot. And we should extend it to others because the more we give, the more that God then will in return show to us. Father, we need your help. Help us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves and humble before you. And if there's anyone here that should extend mercy to someone, Lord, tonight, would you work in our hearts about it? Based on what we've received and what we need in the future, we ought to extend mercy over and over and over again. Thank you again for your mercy, for not giving us what we deserve. And I pray tonight
you'd help us to be merciful people. In Jesus' name, amen.